Edwards Darwin, and a most heartfelt and positive wish for your happiness and well-being over the coming Christmas holidays. My identity was formerly on the earth, known in the Egyptian period as Hermes, and later in the Grecian or Hellenic period as Plato, and that I am momentarily forsaking my seat on the council in the temple to conduct you in the final and concluding transmission from this center in the coming several months, the final chapters of the book will be given to you from the two remaining sections and will conclude in a grand and final climax on the Easter festival. At that time, the great leader here himself will give a message. And now a word of preparation before we enter the temple, where you are to witness the ceremony of the torch lighting, which takes place during the Christmas or the midwinter solstice, and is one of interest not only to the planet Earth, but to a number of other terrestrial planets in the great universe. Primarily, the people which are in the temple at this time are those who have at different times had a period or a reincarnation of earth life, and they are all quite naturally very much interested. And in becoming an active participant enables them to do some small or individual part in projecting some intensities and rays of love to their fellow man in the lower dimensions. As there is a great and considerable amount of power within this temple, we have prepared something very special for you. As you see before you, there is something which looks like a large, beautiful, iridescent soap bubble. It is actually a sphere of radiant energy which we have constructed, which we have endowed or imbued with certain properties. You will step through just as you would through a real step bubble, soap bubble. However, this bubble will not break. Now that you have stepped through, you find yourself in the immediate inside diameter of the bubble, and that the great center here about you in this parkway has lost some of its brilliance. The walls of the bubble, as they are somewhat like glass, have properties which are like the sunglasses used in by different terrestrial people to cut down the glare of solar energy. This bubble also has peculiar refractory properties, inasmuch as now you will be able to see through the aura of the more advanced individuals, which you will see in the central section of the temple in the ceremony, which is soon to begin. If you remember in the transmission where you saw Serapis giving a discussion from a stone altar in the center of a lake. If you had been in the soap bubble at that time, I'm calling it a soap bubble, you would have been able to have seen more of the inside or the actual individual form of this person. The properties of refraction, which are so contained, will be in direct proportion to the amount of concept which your present status of life has thus orientated you to being able to perceive an individual as somewhat of the form and shape in which you might naturally or normally expect a person to so appear in your future evolutions. And in seeing these higher beings, our more advanced souls, you will see them in their true perspective and in their true dimensional characteristics. However, for your present status of evolution, your mind has been so conditioned that you must perceive them as individuals, and thus they so will appear to you through the walls of this energy bubble. Now, let us proceed directly to the high balcony which overlooks the huge pole of the central temple. In the previous discussion, it was described as something which resembled the athletic stadiums of the earth at your time, except that it was much more and tremendously enlarged and absolutely circular in fashion. We can look down from our position over the heads of thousands of individuals directly onto the great center platform. The people which you see about you are very much interested in the ceremony, just as yourself. And while you see that the distance is very great, yet they are not concerned with this in the factors of relationship which might limit the physical eyes. Their vision is something attuned in a way which could be similarized to a television set, or that their vision is just as perfect and that they can see just as closely as they wish from whatever particular position they occupy in this huge center temple. Looking down directly into the great center platform, you see what appears to be several concentric or radial rings of beautiful glowing individuals. Peering through the walls of your bubble, you can visualize through the radiant aura which they are projecting the actual being or form of the individual. In most cases, they are not one individual, but two, as they are perfectly merged with their biocentric counterpart. This is a peculiar and a rather difficult abstract concept for the average individual to master, as these two individuals are now perfectly balanced and in perfect cooperation and in perfect harmony with each other. However, they can extend outwardly, just as you are doing through the astral body, into whatever dimension they may assume, which may be entirely different from each other. I am referring, of course, to those who are called the Logi, or to the archangels, and to the more advanced individuals which are assembled here for the purpose of this ceremony at this time. The exact placement of the rings of individuals, as you see, were somewhat described to you previously. There is one very large ring which seats through several rows deep a large number of people who are attired in rather a striking blue radiant garment which has been especially prepared and adapted for this time. These are the more active participants in the ceremony, and that each one carries a long wand, which is something like a conductor's baton in a modern orchestra. It is, of course, the similar beautiful energy which all things here are constructed from. Within these circles are also many of the teachers and more advanced individuals who are working in the seven centers of the Shambhala, not only as teachers but sometimes as students. Now there is a separation of some distance to the next ring. Here you will see that there are 33 different sections or separations wherein there are several individuals seated. These are the lords or the logi, which come from the offices of the seven celestial kingdoms. They are, in the terms of earth language, the liaison branches of the celestial governments or kingdoms, which relate in their own official capacities to not only the Shambhalas, but in a spiritual way to the more advanced spiritual inceptions into the terrestrial dimensions. I might mention a few which would somewhat acquaint you with the nature of these individuals. Looking off to the right, you will see two persons seated in one center section of this ring, which were formerly known on the earth as Elisha and Elijah. Over to the left, there are two other individuals which are known as Gabriel and Moroni. Down in the center section of this ring is another shining and luminous personage who is known as Maitreya. You will notice also that there is something else rather peculiar about this assemblage, and that they are all facing the center of the ring and not with their faces toward the audience as might be supposed to exist in the normal function of some earth ceremony. There is a definite reason for this, as you will soon see. Now there is another separation, wherein there exists another concentric ring of individuals who are called the Council of Twelve, and that this ring is divided into 12 different sections, wherein the leading lord or master of this council so resides and officiates. To name a few of these individuals, I would name some who have been previously mentioned, such as Zoroaster, Buddha, Krishna, Osiris, and Muhammad. In the exact center of this Council of Twelve is the individual who was once known upon the earth as the man Jesus, and who acquainted himself with you as Shattuck from the mother planet Venus at one time. Now that you have become somewhat acquainted with the general formation of this ceremony, we will see that it is about to begin. The hundreds of thousands of individuals will first begin their by chanting a certain song, which is the familiar energy song which you have heard before. This song, however, seems to have some peculiar significance, or that it reminds you of some of the Christmas carols which you have heard upon the earth. This song seems to lift and rise and fall in cadence, and as it does so, there are wonderful, beautiful waves of etheric energy in numerous colors which are cascading down into the central platform. We see also that there has been a gradual increase in activity in the central section. I am not referring to physical activity, but to the projection of the celestial energies, or the God forces from the minds of these illumined souls and archangels which are thus assembled. These energies seem to be all projecting and focusing into the exact center of this platform and onto the individual who is known as Jesus. These energies are further fortified and strengthened by the huge prismatic lenses from the ceiling above and from the great dome, which are so focused that they too are lending and aiding the energies which are being projected to this master. He is holding out his hands in a form and a way in which there seems to be a round luminous ball of intense radiant energy which is being gradually built upon the surface of his hands. This ball of energy would be several feet in diameter in measurement of your earth dimensions. It is a tremendously pulsating, throbbing energy form which is so tremendously bright that your eyes, even through your glass canopy, are somewhat blinded by the intense radiance of this ball of energy. Now the cascading song from the hundreds of thousands of minds rises and falls in increased intensity. The individuals or logi in the great section have now arisen and are standing. Gradually they are drawing away into such a form which will present a large pathway up toward the center of the enclosure where the Master Jesus is standing. And now the outer ring of individuals who are dressed in the intense blue garments are forming in a certain line. They are holding aloft their long wands of energy. They begin to file singly, one by one, closely together, toward the central figure in the great center enclosure. As they approach him, they hold out their wand and touch the luminous ball of fire which is being held by his hands, and immediately the tip of the wand glows with a intense star-like brilliance. So they pass on, and a new person steps up and touches his wand upon the ball of fire, and so on and so on. Actually, there will be several hundred or more of these individuals who will touch their wands upon this ball of fire, or there may be several thousand. When the ceremony is completed, the large ball is in no wise depleted, but forms and ascends up through the central temple dome and is dissipated into the great celestial void about the temple. Now these individuals who have lighted their wands will descend into the aura of the earth, where in the next several days they will encircle the earth seven times. Then they will descend as spiritual beings and invisible to mankind, and mingle with the countless millions of people upon the surface of the earth. There, as they walk about through the crowds, they will find those persons who have been touched with the Christmas spirit, and that, as this is a time sometimes when even sinners are made saints, and it is thus so because this light will touch the hearts of the individuals who have become infused and imbued with the spirit of Christmas, the spirit of well-being and brotherly love, which wells up within the hearts and minds of mankind over the surface of the terrestrial earth, is not one of mere happenstance or which comes by chance, nor is it as something which might be called a preconditioned psychological impact, but is a direct derivation of a combination of astrophysical elements. The earth, in passing through the great magnetic lines of the universe, so meets and joins these lines at the winter solstice, and during this period it is so that there is a quickening of the spirit, and thus the saints who are mingling with earth people with their wands are touching the minds and hearts of those individuals who have felt and who are realizing the spiritual quickening of these great magnetic lines of force or energy. The individuals with the wands themselves are former dwellers upon the terrestrial earth. They could be named by the hundreds of holy men and women who have come and gone among the races of mankind, and who have left behind them the blessings of their illumined and expanded consciousness. They are the monks, the nuns, the workers who have come and gone, some unnoticed and unheralded, some who have not left their name as luminous marks upon the pages of history, but nonetheless they too had their own spiritual transition upon the earth, and the earth was made richer by their having mingled with its people. I might name many of these illumined personages who have lived upon the earth and who are now about to go into the aura of the earth and mingle with its people. Such personages as St. Francis of Assisi, Mother Cabrini, Florence Nightingale, and of course there are a host of others which would take too long and be too tiring to pursue. However, rest assured that each one comes with their magic wand with its star upon it, and so that this star becomes the own individual star of Bethlehem to each individual upon the earth who has so quickened and is so reliving the spiritual consciousness of the transition. The story of the Messiah in the Christian religion is not alone among the stories of the creation of avatars or the bringers of saints among the races of people, and that almost all nations and all creeds have their own personal birth and savior. So it is in Islam with the Prophet Muhammad. So it is in India with Buddha. So it is in China with Confucius and with others, as well as Buddha. And so it is in Egypt and many other countries of the world. And thus it has been that the beneficent God who has provided all things has also provided the spark, the light, and the luminous qualities of man's spiritual nature, which comes from within himself. And so, dear ones, remember that at your awakening on Christmas morning, and in your consciousness of the Christ light and the personal Savior within you, and that perhaps one of these illumined personages has come to you and touched your mind and your heart with the Star of Bethlehem, and that you too have had the quickening and the awakening of the Spirit, not as a vision which happened 2,000 years ago, but one which happens to you each year, one which happens to you each time you ask for the light to be brought to you. So it will, and thus it will always remain so, for in the supreme consciousness of the immortal Creator, He has placed all things within the reach of every man, and that no man needs to depend upon another for his own salvation. Neither does he have to cry aloud in the wilderness and in the despair of his own emotional consequences. He must always know and realize that the personal image of God within himself has supplied his every need and has fulfilled his every wish and his innermost desire, and that in only in living apart from this consciousness does he become profane and defile this concept of the supreme consciousness and the Christ light which is within himself. So, dear ones, in the days to come, learn to love one another. Learn to realize the fullest measure of the benefits of this all-wise and all-knowing and most beneficent intelligence which has so conceived and constructed the mighty universes. Yea, and even every blade of grass which you trod upon with your feet. The mystery of creation and nature in itself and in its most profound and abstract concept should be one of constant creative inspiration to each and every one of you, and that you should dwell in the house of the Lord forever.